Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren from WFIU, WTIU News. This week, we're joined for the very first time in Columbus with Mayor Mary Fredon. Hello and welcome.
And thank you for having me. And you've got my name correct, so I'm excited.
Oh, good. We really appreciate you coming on this show. Of course, it was a tradition with previous Mayor Linup. Always nice to be in this city to see what's going on, what's new, what's happening. And again, we hope to continue the tradition. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's great to have you.
So let's just start with your role with the city, because we really haven't a chance to gotten to know you yet.
Right.
So what was your role with the city before you became mayor?
Right. So under Mayor Linup, I was the executive director of administration and community development and served in sort of as the deputy mayor, even though the city doesn't have one. So I worked with him for 8 years.
Okay. How's it going? How does it feel to be mayor?
It feels different. The honeymoon lasted for about 2 weeks. but no, it's been great. And it's been a really true smooth transition.
I assume it's different being in the chair than being outside of the chair.
Right.
What have you learned so far in 3 months?
So I've learned that a lot of people want to meet the mayor and have a lot of questions and complaints at times. But that it is a very important role in the community, and so I'm learning that you're a role model and you're always on.
That's for sure. We have so much to get to
right.
Every month.
Right.
And I know that things don't just wrap up with the previous mayor.
Right.
You're kind of balancing a bunch of plates. Can you talk a little bit about what's on your plate right now? What are some of the priorities?
Right, and that's great because the fact that I was here in the administration for 8 years, I was part of a lot of those, and you're right, they don't stop from year to year. One of our biggest priorities, we're really excited, is kind of getting to the end point, and that's our adaptive reuse of the old Fair Oaks Mall here in Columbus. We renamed it Nexus Park. It's where we took a 35-acre property and we have converted it into a health and wellness and recreation center. CRH, our local partner, has put, they've already moved into it. They've got 12 or 13 physician practices and a therapy pool and labs and clinics. And this tomorrow night at the State of the City, we are officially opening and ribbon cutting our 150,000 square foot field house, which we've been so excited about. And then later next month, we'll be opening our parks and community space. And then later this year, our entire campus will be done. So that's a process and a project that started back in 2018. We made it through COVID, through construction costs. And so we're just so pleased to kind of be nearing the end of it and being able to give it to the community and see how they react to it.
We, our last show with Mayor Linup, we were there and he gave us a tour. Of course, that was in December.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine. They were just putting the flooring in
right.
on the court right now. So it's pretty close. I mean,
well, it actually is pretty completed. We've had beginning sometime in late February, we've been already having practices there. So we have our local soccer teams have been practicing for several weeks. And so the turf's down, the courts are down. The scoreboards are up, the nets are up. So yeah, we've had some soft openings. We've had a few small events. But tomorrow night is where we recognize the donors. We recognize just the hundreds of people who've put so much work into it, do that official ribbon cutting, and then move on to the next project. So
sometimes what we like to do, if you're up for it, we do like to meet you at certain places in mm-hmm. the city. So maybe that's some place
we
can go next month
yes.
and see what it's like done and show all of our viewers and listeners. I think
that's
that'd be
right.
great.
Yeah. Well, the neat part about that is that it is a health and wellness facility that we officially next month will groundbreak our fitness center, and we've got a teaching kitchen. The goal is to help people eat and cook better, and so you combine that with the hospital portion and the sports piece, and so we really do think that it'll give a lot to the community.
And this is also a place for the employees of the city to go to receive health and wellness as well, right?
Right. So, great question. Yeah, we've been working on setting up an employee clinic for a number of years. And so we are part of it's the employee health clinic, the City of Columbus, as well as our local Bartholomew County School District employees. So we're really excited about starting that.
But so far the funding is okay.
Yeah, this is great. Between we're using an edit bond for the field house, we're using a park bond for the park community spaces. We've had somewhere in the neighborhood of $4.5 million donated from local businesses and individuals. So we're able to use $6 million of ready funds for it. So we've been able to find the funding.
Yeah. And soon you'll be able to get user fees as well, correct?
Correct.
Or season passes, and right. Is that open now?
Right. So the sports facility, we will get rental fees and lease fees through the tournaments that come through. Just this past weekend, we had a 7-on-7 football league that came in. So yes, we will get lease fees through that. The fitness center and the teaching kitchen, there'll be an income-based membership that people can have. So yes, we should be able to start bringing funds in to help pay for the sustainability of the facility.
So I have to ask you about the eclipse, because it's what everybody's talking
right.
about. We were just in Brown County last week, of course Bloomington before that, and everyone is preparing. What is Columbus, or how is Columbus preparing for the eclipse?
Like every other community, about a year ago, we realized the significance of the event. So the city, as well as Bartholomew County, about a year ago started doing some major planning. It took us a little bit of time to get our first responders to understand how big this could be. So we, the city team now meets on a weekly basis, working on our emergency plans, working on our traffic plans. We have a number of local businesses who are having events throughout the weekend, I think starting Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and then on Monday, we don't have as many events downtown, but we have a huge event out at our air park, and we have a Renaissance event. And so it's a combination of Renaissance fair and solar eclipse, assuming that the weather's good. So we are told, like from Homeland Security, we can have 50,000, we can have twice our population, depending upon weather. So we have to plan for 5,000 or 100,000.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask. I mean, and Brown County said the same thing. They said it could be 50,000, it could be 250,000.
Right.
How do you plan for something like that?
Well, you pull out the disaster and the emergency plans that you have, and we made the decision, I think late last year, that we were not allowing any city employees to take off that day, police and fire particularly, and everybody's been really understanding about that, because we don't know what will happen, and we just as a team, as a city team, we plan for all kinds of events anyway. We've got a local event team that meets and approves a lot of events, so we just went into high gear.
This is also a chance to show off the city when you're getting that many tourists, right?
Right, yeah. So yeah. We have hospitality is something that every city wants to do well. And so part of what we're doing is making sure that our city's clean, that we have, you know, the proper, that we've let the businesses know that there will be a lot of people through their restaurants, through their hotels. So we want to look really good with all of those visitors coming through. So we're just balancing that with safety.
Yeah, it'll be interesting,
it
won't
will.
It?
Yeah, Bloomington's dealing with the same as well.
Yeah.
We did have a virtual meeting with a number of mayors last month from the area, from Hamilton County on south, and we're all kind of in the same boat, not quite sure how many people will be coming through, planning events, and then just putting safety at the top of the list.
And I was just reminded in Nashville too, I mean, we're talking about first responders, and then there's things like trash,
right.
Trash pickup, or public restrooms too.
Yes.
I mean, so there's right. there's so much more than people even know that's going on behind the scenes.
Right. Last, I think it was August, we put in an order for 200 porta potties, and they're coming from the northern part of the state that isn't being affected by the eclipse. Trash, our Department of Public Works, we've got trash toters coming in from all over the city that will be put at any area that we feel that people will be at.
So let's switch gears just a little bit, because I read the city was notified of a record, was it 130 encampments this year staying in tents, then local shelters, and we're seeing this in Bloomington. That was one of the very first things Mayor Thompson there had to deal with, especially after two homicides. Things were pretty bad there. So how is Columbus working with those experiencing homelessness?
So you said it, across the nation we're seeing the number of homeless increase, and so we know that it's tied to mental illness and drug addiction, and we see that it got progressively worse post-COVID. So we have great social services. We have great social agencies who have stepped up, who run shelters. We've got our churches who've done a lot. But it's a very difficult situation because there's not necessarily a right answer, because every person's reason for being homeless is different. We are fortunate because locally our United Way is stepped up, and we're going to start an initiative with a lot of various community organizations who are going to kind of pull resources and figure out what we're currently doing and how we can do it better, because it's a problem that's really beyond the capacity of any one organization.
Yeah, and obviously, no, this is a long-term problem that comes with long-term solutions.
Right.
And I'm hearing the echoing of same answers from the different mayors. It's that combination of resources.
Right.
Of trying to address this, a bigger issue.
It is a bigger issue. And what we found is that, what we're hearing from the social services is that the goal is, when a lot of people, when they become homeless, it's based upon a divorce or a loss of job or some traumatic event. The goal is to help people quickly, if we can get them quickly back into a job or a place to live or back with their family, so that they're just temporarily homeless. And then that way we can focus our real attempt on those people who are chronically homeless and try to figure out what meets their needs. So it's understanding the various causes of homelessness and where we can intercept at different places. But yeah, we're in the same boat, unfortunately. It's nationwide, but what we are doing is we're trying to benchmark what other communities are doing that works, and then try to figure out how that can fit what we have.
I see there may be some updates on a new proposed conference center in Columbus. I know there was a study done a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Kind of had some steam, it kind of went away. It feels like it's coming back again, is it?
It is, in the sense that we're starting the process of reimagining our entire downtown. The riverfront project that you've kind of been following for years, we finally got all of our permits late last fall. So we've hired a construction manager, and we're starting to look at bidding out the project. So we're so excited about that. And then we have several new housing projects. But we also have a couple of properties that in our downtown that have gone up for sale. We call it the old Sears building that was owned by a local company, as well as the Irwin Conference Center. And so, and then we had a property that was burnt a couple of years ago in our downtown that hopefully will be going on the market quickly. So what we're seeing is we have a lot of opportunities, and so trying to figure out where the hotel conference center fits into all of those, because post-COVID we've talked so much about what the new normal looks like, and my position is it's time for us to just get down and start figuring it out on our own and transform Columbus, and I think we can do that.
Is it something that's still needed? Is there a need for something like that here?
We believe so, that people are now getting back to conferences. They may do it a little bit differently. It may be the sizes may change, but we still have it on our list as a project that we want to move forward on. Where in the downtown it goes, we're not quite sure.
Okay. Is this something a private endeavor could come in and do, or is that something that the city wouldn't?
If we had a private developer, and we've talked with a lot of private developers, it's just the construction costs have gotten to the place where it makes it very difficult without any kind of incentives or partnership for a private developer to be able to do something of that nature.
Any bills that you're following at the State House as they're starting to push through? Governor Holcomb has signed a few already.
Right. I'm trying to remember the bill that the title of the bill, but the bill that deals with the maximum levy that cities will be able to see going forward. We're watching that because it really does impact the ability of local governments to raise tax dollars that they need. I understand the reasoning behind it, but with inflationary costs, if governments can't continue to assess and then tax as they need to, we're going to find that there are services that we're not going to be able to provide. I was disappointed to see Governor Holcomb signed the animal bill.
I was going to ask you about that too, because Bloomington and Columbus both have ordinances with selling dogs and cats.
Yeah. So we felt like we went backward with that. But we will continue to work very hard to make sure that we don't allow businesses, what sometimes are called puppy mills, into the city or the county.
So I hear State of the City address, which Wednesday night. Can you give us a little preview of what it is you'll be speaking of?
Sure. So we are holding at Nexus Park. Very excited. And it's going to be a little bit shorter because we'll be cutting the ribbon for the Circle K Field House and the John McCormick Fields, which is our field house. So I'll be talking about some of the same things that you and I have talked about. Housing, the importance of housing. We have a housing study that's going on. The homeless initiative. Transportation, we see the need to kind of revamp our transportation system, our bus system, responding to remote workers, responding to our senior population. So we've got a transit study going on. We always want to talk about the importance of public safety and what we're doing there. Talking about our downtown development and then the solar eclipse. So we're packing a lot into hopefully a short period of time.
And we did today. Thank you so much. But before we go, I always like to give the mayor the last word. Do you have any announcements or anything that you'd like to say?
I'm just so appreciative of having the opportunity to serve the citizens of Columbus. I've worked here for 8 years, and this is a little bit of it's a very different role, but I'm just so proud to be here. So thank you, Joe, for giving me the opportunity to talk.
All right, and we'll see you next month.
Great, thanks.
Thank you.